I hear a tone of voice and I hear a pitch of voice that probably comes from growing up with three siblings. Jesus, tell my brother to give me what I'm due. Maybe there's a pout thrown in there. It just sounds that way when this man comes to Jesus and asks him to arbitrate. Jesus, tell him to do what he needs to do. And I'm sure the other brother has his own view and opinion about what is right and what is just. The problem is that as we look at this particular scripture, every one of us has some level of baggage with it. Think about how we view this situation, how we view these two brothers. Maybe at some point we saw a friend or family member on the side where they were unjustly dealt with by someone in their family after a loss. Maybe we feel like somebody views us that way. Scripture doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are everything going on in our lives, and sometimes it hits really close to home. So let me give you a little context, and then we'll build from there. So it's not as whiny as it seems when this man asks Jesus to arbitrate. It actually was a fairly common practice to have a rabbi decide one way or the other in a dispute. But as you probably are lining things up in your minds, you know that there is an inherent flaw in that system. Because if you can go to a rabbi, your other part, the other person you're asking to be arbitrated against, can go to another rabbi. And if you think people would cherry pick rabbis and find a rabbi who agrees with them, you're right on the right track. So here you are, two brothers disputing, and each one finds their own rabbi. And how do you get justice in this moment? How do you get fair? So there's this huge flawed system that exists. And we see how Jesus, literally, as soon as he's called on to arbitrate, says, I'm not getting into this mess. I'm not going to even weigh in one way or the other. Because here's the thing. What is causing this? What is the root in all of this is what needs to be arbitrated more than anything. Jesus takes a middle road that allows both brothers to have an off-ramp. He cautions against greed. He's not saying one brother is greedy. He's not saying the other brother's greedy. He is simply saying, this is how you should be if you wish to follow me. And think about it again. Each brother who hears what Jesus says on the two sides of the spectrum, think that Jesus is talking about the other brother, right? So as Jesus comes and essentially refuses to be dragged into the mire of all of this, we have to understand that wealth makes us uncomfortable in conversations. What is one thing people always tell brides and grooms when they start off their lives together? Don't ever argue about money. Don't ever argue about money. And inherently, what do couples usually end up having at least a strong conversation about? Money. The fact is, even when I was teaching my church history class last fall, I had one of my students, who's actually older than me, as we were talking about some of the reforms needed in the church around the 10,000s, she asked, do you think wealth is wrong? Do you think having wealth is just wrong? And I said, had to do my best to hide, dip and dodge, and just say, I think what we do with wealth is where the problem is. And I think that inherently is what the scripture is talking about. It's not about the man having so much in abundance. It's what he does, or more pointedly, doesn't do with that abundance. You see, Scripture talks often about what we do with the blessings that God gives us. We're familiar with the talents buried, or the one talent that gets buried. We're familiar with the idea of Paul's theology that even puts money and wealth and the seeking after it as a type of idolatry, causing us to disregard and not care for others. Now, Jesus doesn't use a robber baron-like character like all of the great robber barons of the early 1900s and late 1800s. He doesn't use one of them. It's just a man who's not this overarching massive villain. He doesn't have the curly mustache and the top hat. No, he's just a man who doesn't know how to do anything but accumulate wealth and keep on building it and hoarding it. He doesn't share it with family and friends because seemingly he doesn't have anything. All he has is what he has accumulated. All he has is what he keeps on grabbing and grasping. He has no concept of anything else but to gather and grasp. The Romans would have a proverb about it. They said that money was like seawater. The more a person drinks, the thirstier they often become. And so, in more ways than not, this is a tragic parable. The man is not a villain, but a tragic person, because he sees his world as only through what he can bring in. He is only looking at the today, the here and now. There's this story about two men, one at the beginning of his career and one towards the end of his career and life. And they're talking, and the young man is being asked by the older man, "So what are you going to do?" And he's laying out his plans, and every time he sets out a step, the older man says, "And then?" And then they continue to walk through the young man's life, and at the end, he says, "Well, and then I suppose I'll die." And then the older man looks at him and says, "And then?" And then. You see, this man was only thinking in terms of the here on this level, the here on earth, and not caring and serving those for God's kingdom. The foolish man, the young man, only see things in what they can have now. The foolish man has fields which don't just produce, but produce abundantly. And it's that abundance, that great abundance, that we need to focus on. Because he already has full barns. He's got no more room in his barns. All he has is more and more. So what's his answer to this question of abundance that he already has? So he has abundance on top of abundance. And what is his answer? "Well, I'm just going to tear down my barns and make them bigger." And if he had another abundant harvest and those barns were full again, what would he do? He would build even bigger barns. And then they would keep on getting bigger. And do you think there are people close to him, people who he knows, who are not in abundance? Of course. He doesn't just have abundance, but an overwhelming amount. In many ways, he's similar to like an Ebenezer Scrooge type character. He keeps on focusing his world and his life on accumulating and accumulating, but he never is able to answer the question of why and for what. Not so he could help his neighbor, not so he could enjoy life, because he can't enjoy life. His enjoyment and all he knows how to do is keep on accumulating. He needs that purpose. Now, Jesus isn't advocating spendthrift ways where you take like, I might be showing that I'm around younger people when I say this. One of the money guns where you put like a stack of money and you pull the trigger and it shoots dollar bills out. You know, He's not advocating walking down the street just shooting money off to everybody. He's not advocating going off and throwing away your money. But he's also focusing on not hoarding, not keeping, not grasping onto things. Because the reason this man is foolish is because he sees only full barns. He only sees an abundant harvest. He doesn't see the needs around him. He doesn't see the kingdom of God further down the road or even closer than he expects. He's foolish not because he wastes his money, but because he has no other purpose than accumulating. And for what? We see when Matthew tells of a rich man, a rich young man, asking Jesus, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus' answer is to sell everything. And the young man goes away sad. Why? Because he has so much stuff. Now, the difficulty we are faced with is not conversing about whether or not wealth is good. It is what we do with the blessings that we have been given. What do we do with the abundances in our lives? Do we share it with those who need? Do we share it with those around us? Do we help one another? When we have a whole plate full of green beans, do we share it with one another? What do we do with the abundances God has given us? Do we build up the kingdom? Do we build up one another for the kingdom? Or do we hoard and keep for ourselves? The challenge for us, brothers and sisters, is whether or not we will be generous with and to one another. Whether or not we will bury the blessings we have in the ground. Or whether or not we will find an answer to end then when life comes to an end. Brothers and sisters, amen.